This is WCNY's The Capitol Press Room, and we're joined in the studio by Interim DEC Commissioner Sean Mahar, who's talking with us a little bit about his recent promotion and what he's going to be up to as the interim leader of the state's Department of Environmental Conservation. Thanks for visiting us, Sean, and I guess congrats on the temporary title bump.
Thanks, Dave. And yeah, I'm happy to be here. And I am the interim commissioner of DEC, and it's an honor to really have this position. Happy to talk about it.
Well, I guess the first question I have to ask is, do you view this as an interim job, or is this something that you'd like to do permanently?
Right now, my focus, Dave, is really helping to make sure that we have good continuity of operations. I mean, Basel was a legacy for the department, 8.5+ years of being the commissioner, and there's a lot of important work that's still underway that we need to continue. And my focus is really making sure that the agency is operating as efficiently and effectively as it can on behalf of all New Yorkers, and that's really where my focus is right now.
Well, I mean, I noticed that you're not wearing a hat. Is that because you threw it into the ring for consideration?
No, Dave, it was rainy out today, so I used an umbrella when I came up here today. But really, my hat is on my desk and really buckled down on making sure that the team is moving forward. We've got a lot of important work underway, especially with the budget this year. We're excited to see the new resources that we're getting through clean water funding for the Clean Water Infrastructure Act, the Environmental Protection Fund. We're going to be putting a lot of resources on the ground throughout the state. And really, in the coming months, I'm working with the team to make sure that with the Bond Act spending we have, leveraged with the state investments this year, we're going to make some important progress happen.
And we're going to talk about that. And so I'm going to ask one more question about your future as commissioner. Have you applied to be commissioner? I'm not really sure if this is something you apply for, but have you said, you know, I'd like to be considered, or said, if nominated, I will serve? How should I think about this?
Well, Dave, the governor does have an open process right now for finding the next commissioner. There's a national search underway. You know, I won't speak on the governor's behalf about where she's going with that, but I'm honored to have this opportunity on this interim basis to keep this amazing agency going.
And wouldn't turn it down if someone did end that search right here.
Well, Dave, I mean, this is an incredible agency to work for, and I'm honored to have this opportunity. When you look at the breadth of what we do and the knowledge that our staff bring to it, the passion that they bring to it, it's just such an honor to be at this place and helping them succeed. And that's really where I look at my role in this agency, is really being the facilitator of all the important work that they have to do, making sure it's moving forward and helping them champion that. And you know, the important work that we have underway needs to get done. And that's really where my focus is. I want to make sure they have the resources they need and get the action that they need to happen.
So you've worked your way up through the DEC, and I'm curious, how has that, do you think, prepared you for the job you have now? And I guess, do you feel prepared?
Oh, I'm always prepared, Dave. I'm a Boy Scout.
Okay.
Be prepared. It's the motto, right?
But you could throw me out of a plane, and I don't know how prepared I would be. It's just, and maybe that's not the right analogy for this, but why do you feel prepared?
So, Dave, well, working for DEC is something I've always wanted to do. Growing up, my dad always had the Conservationist magazine on our table at home, and I'd always flip through it and read it, and DEC was always the place I wanted to be. They're on the front lines of conservation work. They're leading the nation. They're doing such cool work, and sometimes I'm surprised at just how much work is going on. And I learn something new every day being in this agency and being in this role, what we're doing across the state. It's amazing, and it's such a great opportunity. So I've always wanted to be here at this agency and helping it to succeed. So when I came in on the communication side, I was really focused on telling the DEC story, because I knew that there was such great and important work going on that really wasn't getting recognized. So when I came into the agency 8.5 years ago, I started on the communications world really telling that story, and that really helped me really understand the totality of the agency and every specific component of it. And from there, you know, with my policy experience on the outside, working for the Audubon Society, doing government relations, I knew the process of Albany and how it worked. And then I was able to bring that to the different positions that I've had at the department, from Assistant Commissioner of Public Affairs to Chief of Staff to Executive Deputy Commissioner and now Interim Commissioner.
Did Basil Sagos, former Commissioner of DEC, give you any words of advice?
He's given me a lot of words of advice over the years, and it's been great to learn under him, work with him, really watch him grow as a professional as well. But really, he was always one to ground us in the people and focus on the staff and make sure that we're helping to inspire them and champion their work. And that was really one of his legacies, is the staffing aspects and how we've grown the department over time, how we've continued to manage it adaptively for the new initiatives that are coming away and the new threats that are facing the environment, making sure sure that we're continuing to be on that front lines of making the changes happen that we have to see happen.
Do you think there are any challenges you personally are going to have to overcome in thriving in this new role? Are there aspects of this job that maybe you don't feel super comfortable with and will require a learning curve?
Well, that's why I have an amazing team behind me, Dave, with our deputy commissioners, our division directors, our regional directors. The leadership team at DEC is amazing, and they are super smart, and I couldn't do this without each and every one of them. And we're going to really continue to work together as a team. We've built a really, I think, solid operation for state government here on the environmental side of it, and we're just going to keep rolling on that, and that's really where my focus is going to be. And we've got some changes on the team happening as retirements happen, and we're going to continue to grow and evolve as a team. But that Team DEC mentality is something that the commissioner and I really espoused, right? We are a team. We work together. You know, between the environmental quality and natural resources side of our obligations, we need to collectively work together, and that's what I focus on.
But so there's nothing that you feel like is an area where, you know, I need a little more briefing on, or maybe there's an area where I'm not as familiar, or I haven't spent as much time, and thus I'm going to lean more on the deputy commissioners, or I'm going to need somebody else to kind of bring me up to speed, so to speak.
Well, Dave, I think the biggest thing is time to get outside and enjoy the things that I'm working for.
Okay.
And that's going to be the biggest balance that I have to bring to this. Because you can get trapped into the day-to-day work with the regulations and policies and different things that are happening internally at this agency. You have to sometimes take a step back and take stock and get outside and remember what it is you're fighting for. And that's really why I want to balance that out and really get out and see the projects firsthand, because our staff are doing such amazing and creative work all over the state, and I want to see it up close and personal, and I hope that I can balance that time out between the obligations of managing a 3,000 person agency and the day-to-day operations on that while taking time to celebrate the staff successes.
Assuming you are going to have a chance to go out and about in this role, do you have a closet full of well-tailored and diverse outfits the way your predecessor did?
Well, I'm working on getting my action jacket, which is really critical, and that's something that Basil always had in his office. But yeah, I'm taking stock of everything that I'm going to need as I'm really sensing I'm going to have to be on the road and on boats and on different areas. I mean, I'm going to travel everywhere from the remote areas of the Adirondacks to the shores of Lake Ontario and the Atlantic Ocean. I mean, DEC is everywhere in the state, and there's always something going on. So I'm always going to be at the ready.
Well, before we move on, let me reintroduce you for listeners just joining us. We're speaking with Interim DEC Commissioner Sean Mahar. So you are the Interim Commissioner. So does that mean that certain decisions at the DEC are on hold until a permanent or acting commissioner is selected?
It depends on the issue. With the interim capacity, I am the commissioner ostensibly of this agency, so I can sign regulations and all the other things that are going to come across my desk, you know, representing the governor on these things. The work still has to continue. We have very important obligations between the laws that we have and the regulations that we have to implement. So that work is very much going to continue, and I'll just be signing documents to make sure that it moves forward.
Your predecessor, when he was here before the budget was adopted, and we're speaking for listeners on Thursday as the budget is being wrapped up, he had defended the governor's proposed $250 million initiative for clean water infrastructure, which would be a decrease from the $500 million investment we had seen in previous budgets. And he spoke about the capacity of the state to spend on clean water and basically made the case that we're really tapped out, and $250 million is more reflective of what we can do as a state. We've got $500 million now in the final budget. Do you think we'll be able to spend that money? Will we be able to overcome the deficiencies of your predecessor's leadership, or are we going to see the same challenges?
Well, Dave, we're super excited to have this investment, and I'm glad that the legislature and the governor worked this out. Obviously, early on in the budget year, the fiscal picture was a little different than I think where the budget negotiations went, and we're excited to be able to put this to work on the ground. I mean, $500 million is a lot when you look at the now $6 billion that we've spent on water over the last, you know, 6-7 years. We've got billions in financing that's happening across the state, from the Clean Water State Revolving Fund, leveraged with this investment in a Clean Water Infrastructure Act, leveraged with the Bond Act funding programs, working directly with the Environmental Facilities Corporation. We're going to make some real great progress happen, and I'm excited to get around the state and see some of these projects underway.
So you don't share the same concerns about the capacity to spend this money in a meaningful way, or to potentially drive up the costs of projects by competing against yourself with all this money flowing out?
Well, that is something that we're always cognizant of and paying attention to. And what we want to make sure is that we're not flooding the market too much with this water funding, and that we're making the projects happen and not having adverse impacts. I think when the fiscal realities, you know, came a little more clear through the budget negotiations, governor and legislature saw this opportunity, and we're going to make it work, and we're going to make it work right, and we're going to do it effectively. And that's really what we bring to bear when we look at implementing these programs like this. But I know the governor is really excited about this. She knows that this water funding is really a cornerstone of economic development, our ability to really attract new industry. We need effective water infrastructure in place, both on the drinking water side and on the wastewater side. And this funding is going to really target those projects and make it happen on communities and, you know, make them more livable. But at the end of the day, it's going to provide clean water to New Yorkers, and that's paramount. I'm just excited to have this opportunity to work with the team to make it happen.
Anything else in the state budget this year that you're particularly excited about?
Well, we're going over all the details of it now. There were some air funding changes that were really important to our Clean Air Act obligations and implementing, you know, that effective program. Really what we're excited about, Environmental Protection Fund, $400 million, another historic investment there, really continuing a lot of important programs across the state for natural resource protection, public access. But I'm really excited about implementing the Bond Act. I mean, we've got $4.2 billion that's going to leverage all these other state investments as well. And really what I'm most interested to is the resources that DEC is getting in particular for our capital improvements. So, you know, from our new Saranac Lake Treen Depot on the Adirondack rail system that we've built. Great opportunity there to grow that, leverage that. We have upgrades to our fish hatcheries that we're going to be doing across the state. And then most importantly is the Governor's Tree Initiative. And what we're seeing in the budget is an investment in our Saratoga Tree Nursery that is really going to help us grow our forests for the future and meet this 25 million tree goal that the governor is advancing. And it's really exciting. It's a great time to be in conservation right now with a governor who is very focused on these issues and putting the resources where we need them.
So earlier in this conversation, you mentioned the Conservationist magazine, and that's something that you and I have discussed on a previous show. Now that you have this title, how soon will it be before you appear on the front cover of the Conservationist magazine?
Well, I don't like to be on the cover, but I've
You don't like to be?
No, I've always wanted, though, Dave, to have that inside the first fold, the commissioner's letter. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward to penning my first one on that.
Have you thought at all about the message that you'd like to get across in that first letter?
Well, I may have to mention, Dave, our prior show where we've talked about the conservationist and how it's great to see people in the state capitol actually pay attention to this thing. And it's a great resource that we provide New Yorkers. It's a great way to, again, tell the DEC story and really help explain and inspire New Yorkers to get engaged in the conservation work that we do.
So you're saying, though, if the conservationist team comes to you and says, we'd like to do a photo spread, and maybe it gets used on the cover, you're turning it down?
Well, no. I'm going to work with the team and making sure that whatever is on the cover, Dave, is representative of the great work and all the New Yorkers who go into it. It's really about the team, and I like really putting the team forward. And the people who are actually doing the work are most important. I consider myself just a facilitator of the great work that they do, and I really want them to be the stars that they are and shine.
So maybe like a team photo, but you're front and center the way Superman or like Captain America might lead their team.
As long as we're together, Dave, that's really all that matters.
Well, we've been speaking with Sean Mahar. He is the interim DEC commissioner. Sean, thank you so much for joining us, and congrats on the title bump.
Thanks, Dave, and look forward to working with you more.
And for more Capital Pressroom content, visit capitalpressroom.org or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.